BlakeRadio.com.
Thank you, Super Happy Magical World Plus Time Shows, with your host, Super Saiyan Mandel Ragazza. Yeah, it's voice from America Missy. Also, it may be including cartoon characters, Crazy Kane Loving Jackie Face, Grumpy Farmer Skin Color Allergic Spark Person, and many of our happy, fun time peoples. Aussie German of Raw begins now!
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, it's all about control, and if you can take it, it's all about your dance, and if you can play it, it's all about the pain.
We're playing with no script, no notes, no nothing. This is the WTR Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm Sir Rocket.
Wait a minute. Wait. You don't have any notes?
No notes. Nothing.
We're screwed.
Oh, my God.
We are so screwed.
We're flying.
Did you hear that? He doesn't have any notes. That's like... Oh, my God. I'm amazed.
So wait, you actually watch the show rather than, you know, take notes?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think anyone listening understands how incredible and awesome this is. He's... Wow.
I actually paid attention. I sat, watched Raw, tweeted at Wild Talk Radio, and we're going to go off whatever I remember from Monday Night Raw.
Does anybody have the match results? Because...
Oh, we good.
Yeah. We're good.
It's called the internet. I'm good.
Okay.
But anyway, welcome to the Raw Post Show. I'm Sir Rocket, joined by Lindsay Ward and Jackie Feist here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you just forget our names
because you didn't have your notes?
No, I got messaged by Brian 4 times. I was reading his notes.
He needs notes to
Let me look at my wrist. Lindsay Ward, Jackie Feist. Okay, we're good. Anyway, this is Raw Post Show. If you have a comment, call in a little bit, 267-297-1397. You know how to get a hold of us. We're supposed to be joined by Jersey Girl at some point, I think. She wanted to call in and talk about her experience at Raw. We'll see.
She was there
live. And in person for Monday Night Raw.
Totally jealous. She was in the same building as Kane and Undertaker.
She was. And there was, you know, a famous extreme wrestler who was at Raw, too. We'll get to talking about him in a little bit as well.
God.
He got himself... Well, yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. And I saw the footage. I rewatched it on the DVR. Yeah, we'll tell you where it happened and how you didn't see him. But we start at the top of the show. CM Punk comes out, talks about Chris Jericho and the things he said last week. He knows everything. You know, it was not supposed to be a big secret, but you know, those close to him knew it would be true. All that fun stuff. But you know. He's about to beat the bullshit out of the bullshitter, Chris Jericho, at WrestleMania.
Yep.
That yep is all I get.
Well, oh. I mean, there's not really a whole lot to say about that particular part of it, as much as there was more to say
about Chris
after Jericho talked. I mean, it was a typical pipe bomb with Punk that night. I mean, we all know that.
He was intense tonight.
He was. He played it up very well. That particular part, it was very intense, but I think the stuff that happened later was more what he should talk about than, you know, Punk walks out there and he's pissed off and yeah, he's gonna beat the shit out of Jericho. Okay, that's a typical response,
typical,
you know.
Typical response, and then Chris Jericho apologizes for making comments about CM Punk's father. But then you do what you don't do, you don't talk about another man's sister and her drug abuse.
It was hilarious because I was sitting here watching it, and I'm a few seconds ahead of Lindsay, and I'm watching it, and then all of a sudden I hear, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to make fun of your father, but let's talk about your sister. And I laughed so hard that I was like, I better mute my microphone because I don't want to drown out whatever she's going to hear. It's like, you can always talk about someone's sister. You just can't talk about the father. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that was well done. That it was less creepy this week, and it came off so well. And it just added even more drama to this feud, made it more interesting. So, well done.
Well done, Chris Jericho. Well done, CM Punk. They're building the intensity that this feud needs to go into WrestleMania. And I was glad they got they got time this week.
Yes.
It wasn't rushed. It was a nice, well put together segment by the two of them.
Yeah, it was definitely better than last week. It had a better feel to it. Punk was in the moment, and then you had Jericho do the pre-tape promo via satellite, or I don't know if he was live or not, or if they did enough spacing to where Punk could respond, or how they did that, but it was very well done, very, very good by them.
Live via satellite from backstage.
Yeah. Well, he's doing Kimmel tonight, isn't he?
Is he? No. He's doing Fallon later in the week. He's not doing Kimmel, I don't think.
I thought he was doing Fallon tonight. That's what they were saying.
Jessica Simpson and someone else. No Chris Jericho.
No.
On Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, I think he's doing Fallon.
Yeah, I think he's doing Fallon.
He's doing Fallon Wednesday.
What the hell was he doing tonight? They were saying he was doing something tonight. I just forget what.
TV guy doesn't tell me anymore. So...
Well, damn you, TV guy. Damn you to hell.
So, that was that, and then we get the jobber entrance for Kane.
I know, I was so pissed. Oh, God.
But we got Kane. We actually got Kane. A whole 2 minutes worth. We got him.
God. I mean, don't get me wrong. He won his match, doesn't matter how. A win is a win. I'm a happy girl. But I saw it start just as his pyro hit, and I was like, really?
We got the pyro.
Well, yeah, we got the pyro, but Show was going to lose anyway. Might as well give him the jobber entrance. Let's just bury him a bit more before WrestleMania.
But he won the match. Clean.
Yes, he did.
Clean. He won clean with a huge chokeslam from the top rope.
A win is a win.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how.
With help from Cody Rhodes, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah,
my only issue with this match is that it's great that they use Kane, but he's kind of embroiled in a feud for WrestleMania too, and the fact that they had no Randy Orton in any way, shape, or form come out afterwards was a little disappointing. And I know Orton came on later in the show, and again, there was no interaction between the two. It's like, I think they kind of dropped the ball there, where it's like, okay, you're pushing... I mean, I don't know whether they're doing like every other match that they push on Raw and the rest they push on SmackDown or how they do that, but it's like you had a perfect chance to have the two interact because they're both there and you didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you could have easily, it's like, okay, Kane gets the win, yay, you know, how much more time does it eat up to have Randy Orton run out there and give him an RKO? Seriously. I mean...
So when, And to dispute Brian, who's sending me messages, Big Show was sitting on the top rope. I'm watching the footage right now.
So I guess it just depends on your definition of top rope. If you want his feet or his butt to be on the top rope.
His butt was on the top rope. His butt was on the top rope. And when Big Show hit the spear, some guy in a white shirt stood up, took off his shirt, was wearing a mask, took that off.
I saw the shirt go flying. I was like, wait a minute. I saw Kane, and then I saw someone's shirt come off. I was like, I hope that wasn't Jersey Girl. Because he sure as hell wasn't Lindsay and I, because we weren't there.
No.
Speak for yourself.
So is that Jackie? No, Jackie wasn't there. One of them was there, because I just saw Kane and then a shirt fly off.
He's flying on his back! Get him! Get him! Get him!
Get him! Get him! Get him.
No, and blocked by the referee was Shane Douglas, by the way. And then he walked out. He wasn't escorted. He walked out himself.
Yeah, and you don't interrupt a Kane match and expect to get back. So, sorry. Yeah, he's up, dude.
So, yeah, Shane Douglas made an appearance, though you really didn't see it.
Yay.
But Shane Douglas will be on an upcoming edition of Kayfabe Wrestling Radio in April. We'll ask him all about his appearance because he was there trying to push the ECW-type Extreme Reunion coming up. But after the Kane beating Big Show, Cody Rhodes handcuffed Big Show to the ropes, used some boxing gloves, beat the crap out of him. Still couldn't knock him out.
Brass knucks, dude. Brass knucks.
You know, you play all the Floyd Mayweather footage. Learn from it. Use the knucks. Use them.
I mean, you know they're sitting backstage. Just go get them. It's not like it's hard.
Right. It's, you know, you learn from what you show. Brass knucks will knock out the Big Show. Regular boxing gloves? No. Not so much.
Unless you're Taker.
Unless you're Taker. Oh my god, he was epic tonight.
Wasn't
he?
He
was.
Just teasing that for later. We'll get into
that. But we're getting there.
We're getting there slowly. Because they actually gave them the main event.
Yeah. I know. It's like, wow, they're actually going to go on last. This is going to be good.
Another main event promo, but this one was actually really good. When you watch it and you see Undertaker walking out, Triple H is pissed, and Shawn is LOL, you know that was the greatest promo in the history of WWE right there.
And the fact that it was the Undertaker that made the LOL is amazing.
But we're
what's going
there
on in the ring up there? Oh, nothing. They're just having the lulls up there. Nothing going on up there at all.
But we're getting there. Don't worry. We're getting there. Up next was David Otunga taking on Santino Marella.
Squeak.
With the painted on abs.
When this match started, I wasn't really paying attention to my Twitter. I was talking to Lindsay about, so we were talking about something, probably about the Kane match, whatever. And
no, we're bitching about how David Otunga stole Wade Barrett's coat thing.
Oh, that's right. And I look on Twitter, and Chris Masters is trending, and I'm like, what the hell? And it took me a few minutes to figure it out.
Yes, he used to do that whole entrance where he bows with the cape, yeah. And yeah. But Otunga used a jacket, so a little difference.
Yeah, little difference.
A little bit of a difference. But Santino and his painted on abs could not defeat David Otunga.
Boo.
Poor Santino. Poor Santino.
He had a job to Mr. Prick. That's so wrong.
then we got the GMs going at it again. Ho hum, ho hum.
Well, Lindsay and I were talking about this when it started, and, you know, Teddy Long is just celebrating a bit too much. And so that kind of gives me the impression that we may be losing Teddy Long. He may be retiring.
Go ahead.
Which, if he is, more power to him. But yeah, it's there's a definite clear bad guy and good guy, and the good guy is just they're having Teddy Long get the upper hand a little bit too much, and it's kind of apparent. So, well, I guess we'll see at WrestleMania.
Well, I mean, usually, and it's up to, you know, it's up in the air, but I expected, honestly, I kind of expected for them to be burying Teddy Long and then have him win. Instead, it's been the exact opposite. And I'm kind of thinking this is where, I mean, I'm just based on what I'm saying, I'm thinking this is where Teddy Long, you know, heads on into retirement, which means that we're going to have Laurinaitis on both shows.
God help us.
God
even
help
if
us
only
all.
Temporarily.
God help us.
God
that's
help
all
us
I can
all.
Say.
Yeah, really. Yeah, really, just help us one and all, please. We're going to need Laurinaitis on both shows. Good God almighty. Anyway, moving on. to The Rock, standing by Rocky Balboa's statue in Philadelphia. Showed a picture of him in his short shorts. The Rock wears short shorts. He wears short shorts.
Moving on.
Yeah, didn't even watch it, to be honest. It's like, TLDR, sorry.
Well, he mentioned The Warrior, he mentioned Hulk Hogan, he mentioned Macho Man Randy Savage, Ric Flair, and Mick Foley, all in a promo. It was well done. It was an actually well done promo.
Yeah, it's getting to a point now where he's using other people's catchphrases, too.
Well, it got him over. He's done that before. It's got him over before, and it's going to get him over now, but it was not as goofy as many of his promos have been.
It was more serious, but again, it was still, Rock's running his mouth, yep. And so it's like, okay, I only heard bits and pieces through Jackie's feed. Raw's actually getting ready to start here in about 10 minutes for me, so I'll be watching Raw, the replay, as we're actually doing the show. Thank you, Comcast. You assholes. I hate you. Drop dead.
But I enjoyed it. He was on point. He didn't, there was no penis references that I could catch, so I think Mason would be happy. There was no penis references from The Rock.
Thank God. This week.
Up next, we had another wrestling match. The World Heavyweight Champion, Daniel Bryan, alongside AJ, took on woo-woo-woo Zack Ryder.
Fastest back injury recovery ever.
Just saying. At the Rumble, his back was broken. He was never going to walk again. He was in a wheelchair. And today, he's fine.
And Kane didn't kill him.
Right?
I missed that so much when Zack Ryder came out and Kane would come out and destroy him. I missed that terribly.
No, this time he goes for the Rough Rider?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's his finishing move name. I should know this, but they really don't say the names of moves that often. It's the Rough Rider, and then he hit Bryan countered for the LaBelle Lock for the win as he goes, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, again. It sucks to job on your first day back.
Sucks to job, but you knew it was going to happen when he was facing Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And, again, I'm sorry, AJ and Daniel Bryan, the most non-couple I have ever seen in my life. The least you two could do is hold hands. Do something, anything. AJ, actually act excited when he wins.
She just looks at him and smiles.
We need to get AJ Lee and Kane and bring them here and then have her watch what happens when Lindsay and I get in like a mile radius of Kane. That's how you act. Just saying.
That's called Planex exploding.
That's called
if he's exploding. Hot. Yeah, if he's hot, let it explode.
I now move on. John Cena came to the ring tonight to take on Mark Henry. Cena said to the camera he'll see us at WrestleMania when he faces The Rock on April 1st. Typical John Cena match. Beats Mark Henry with the attitude adjustment. Then out came The Rock. He rock bottoms Mark Henry. Poor Mark Henry. And that was your stare down build for them this week.
Which worked. I mean, it was effective. It's more Rock is like, okay, I'm done being I'm done being silly. Now I'm going to be serious. And it got the point across. It worked. It's like, okay, you're going to own me on the mic. Well, I'm going to own you in the ring. And I'm going to show my, I'm going to show my strength.
Show your what? Show your technique?
Yeah, show your technique, which he has none. But, anyway, so, I don't know. It worked. It was the right amount of Rock Cena, which made me happy, so, yay.
There could have been less.
There could have been less. But at least we didn't get another rock concert. At least there wasn't a 30-minute overrun. You know, it's, yeah. I get you guys are pushing this. There's your feature match, but there are other matches on this card I care about more, so.
Yeah.
And you, again, it's, I can't tell if it's either I'm just not that into it, and that's the reason why I'm not digging the promos, or I don't like it, but got the point across, and that's all that needed to be done. But again, it did nothing to make me want to see the match.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it seemed like this match was like a test to see if you can as successfully push a match, excitement for a match, if you do it a little bit over a year, than just kind of cramming it down everyone's throats the way they usually do. And certainly, I am not the primary demographic for the WWE, and so I don't know that they would care at all about what I think. But personally, I'm over it.
Yeah, had they announced this match after Survivor Series, around the Rumble, a little bit later than what they did, I would probably be just a little bit more into it. But the fact that we've known for a year, it's like, okay, it's Rock Cena. It is what it is. You know, when they announced it a year ago, I didn't want to see it. When they started cramming it down our throats in January, I really didn't want to see it. And I'm not interested in seeing it. It's like, okay, it's Rock versus Cena. Next.
Well, Cena's just lucky to be in one piece after his little car accident today.
Yeah, he's very lucky. The company is lucky.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine that backstage if Cena had gotten hurt in any capacity.
Now, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but another car hit the vehicle Cena was in, and then that vehicle hit another vehicle?
It got hit by a big rig or an 18-wheeler or something like that from behind.
Oh, my God.
After it hit Cena. It was like a Honda Civic hit Cena's car, and then the Civic got hit by like a truck. So the fact that everyone involved in that is okay, at least we think they are.
And it looks like I'm sorry, Lindsay, we have a caller. Hello, caller, what is your name?
It's Brian.
Oh, yeah, you, we know you, hi.
So yeah, we were just talking. Cena got hit by another car, and then the big rig just smashed into the other car, and oddly enough, Cena's car suffered next to no damage.
Yeah, that's what's unfortunate. There are so many people who have just been hoping that Cena, you know, would drop dead in a car accident. Well, you got what you wanted, and he's still here. Sorry.
He's Super Cena. He no-sells everything.
There you go.
Well, I mean, I'm glad. When push comes to shove, I'm glad he's okay. I mean, the only, you know, you never, if you're sane, you never really want anyone to get hurt. And, I mean, as much as I am not looking forward to this match, I'm still looking more forward to it than I am the Divas match. So, I mean, there's stuff on the card I hate less, but yeah, I'm not really feeling this match. It's like, I hope if the Rock really is going to be around next year, I hope they don't do this again.
I think they're lucky that they have Undertaker Triple H on the main event slot, like they have that match. But Cena Rock is their selling point. And it's still like the third most, it's still the third match that I really want to see the most. The other two being Taker Trips and Punk Jericho. But beyond that, like, you know that Daniel Bryan's getting his ass squashed. So,
right.
I have no interest in that. Like, at least Cena, Rock, it's not foregone conclusion, because if Rock is coming back next year, then Rock can go over.
Well, let's take a minute to, as Rock said, we have some exclusive audio from after the show. So, let's take a listen to that.
I did it.
What?
Damn it. In case you didn't hear, I admit, I did it. I ran over John Cena.
It's a good thing the criminal charges were dropped.
And you ask why?
Damn right.
I didn't do it for me. No, I didn't do it for me. I did it for The Rock.
Damn you, Rikishi.
I was going to say, really, why does Junior Fatu sound like Barack Obama?
So that was Rikishi?
Rikishi's yeah, the one who hit John Cena earlier today. He did it for The Rock.
He did it for The Rock.
He wants him to go over that much that he tried to take him out, but unfortunately his Civic did not survive because Cena just took it out.
That's right.
So yes, we have that was our exclusive audio from the post-show that we did not see. Rikishi came out and admitted in front of Jim Ross and Jerry King Lawler that he did it for The Rock.
Jim Ross.
He made a magical appearance from Oklahoma.
At least it's not Lord Tensai that did it.
Okay, I know you wanted to get to that. Go ahead.
Lord Tensai might be the most idiotic premise I've ever seen for a debuting wrestler in the history of the WWE.
Kane was a wrestling dentist.
No, he's worse than a wrestling dentist because they're just retreading Hakushi, only they're doing it with a white fat guy that everyone in the audience already knows.
All aboard the A-train?
All aboard the A-train.
And I want to bring up something. Lindsay, I had mentioned this to Lindsay, and I just kind of have to ask, and feel free to answer when you get something. You hear about marks, right? And people that will just believe anything.
Yeah.
So people online who are usually a bit credible are all... I can definitively say without a doubt that this is not true because Bernard came out on his Twitter and denied that he's going to the WWE. And I'm like, really? Like, Paul Bearer denied for weeks before he showed back up in, I think it was late 2010, that he was coming back.
Well, yeah,
it's almost like we've had a change where people are believing everything the wrestlers say now.
Yeah, welcome to Twitterdom. Where it blurs the lines so much to where you don't know if the wrestler is being honest with you or not, which just means that you should always assume that they're lying to your face.
Well, yeah.
It's the wrestling business. Everything is a work. Just assume that.
Yeah, and it's like, even if you don't know anything about journalism, even if you're a wrestling fan, you know that they're not going to spill the beans to you just because you ask them to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're going online and putting your reputation on the line saying, I can say definitively that this is not true because A-Train said it wasn't true. And I'm like, okay.
Well, here's the thing.
I didn't even hear that A-Train was signing, and I thought it was one of the Japanese guys that they have in SCW because they have two of them, which this gimmick would be perfectly fine for if they put, like, the Hakushi paint on someone else and did a Hakushi retread. It's over 7 years. The gimmick infringement, like, ban is off the off the table.
It's
but
been like
really,
A-Train?
A-Train.
Well, here's the thing about it. You know, he's not going to come out and say, oh, yeah, I signed with the WWE, because that's the fastest way to either get his contract pulled or get his push pulled.
Yeah.
I mean, that's career suicide to come out on Twitter and say, yeah, I just got re-signed by the WWE. He's not going to confirm it.
In his defense, he can come out and say, it wasn't me that signed with the WWE, it was Lord Tensai.
Well, it's just like, again, for people who consider themselves to be credible journalists and who are comfortable putting themselves out there, I can say definitively, I'm like, how did you fall for that? I know people half your age that wouldn't have fallen for that.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, it's one of those things where if he was rumored to re-sign, who's to say that the rumor's even true? How many times have we heard rumors that so-and-so is coming back to the WWE and nothing ever pans out? It was just bullshit all along. So, like, him coming out and saying, it wasn't me, I didn't sign, it's not definitive proof. But also, somebody saying, oh, he's definitely re-signing, is also not definitive proof.
Right. And obviously, somebody did sign with him. And if it's one of those things where somehow it just someone leaked something that wasn't quite what it was supposed to be, and it's not A-Train, but it's someone else, you know, these things happen. But
yeah.
I'm more amazed by the fact that people are basically putting their reputations on the line at the word of a wrestler. I'm like, really?
Now here's the story. Story time, folks. It's been reported that the wrestlers couple nights on Sunday night, or Sunday or Saturday night. It might have been Saturday night when they were in Canada. They were told that the rumor was he was coming in. So that's where all the buzz started. So some one boy talked to someone in the, you know, the media. And that got it, you know, spurring around. Because he's been talked about in WWE Creative for about the last 2 months to come up with a storyline for him to bring him back into the company. So it's been 2 months in the making, and in Montreal, someone, they were told, and it was making conversation, and then someone must have spoke to some dirty writer and go, guess who's coming back? Just, you know, and there you go.
Are we sure it's not another Montreal screw job? It's just Vince fucking with us again.
Wouldn't put it past him.
I just think that re-signing fucking Giant Bernard, A-Train, Matt Bloom, whatever you want to call him, and putting him in a Hakushi gimmick and having him feud with John Cena after WrestleMania, which is the rumor, is the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Well, it can't be any worse than Embrace the Hate.
I'd rather have embraced the hate.
I was kind of hoping the Cena-Kane feud would continue after WrestleMania. But it's definitely, at least in my opinion, it's definitely better than what this appears it could be. I mean, it made sense on Hakushi, but come on, A-Train's a great big white guy.
Yeah. Which is why when I was first doing the report, I didn't know about Matt Bloom, so I just assumed it was either Sakamoto or Jiro down from SCW finally got the call, especially since Sakamoto has been taken off of the FCW page. But then they're like, it's Matt Bloom, and I'm like, well, what the fuck? Why would you put A-Train and Kanji and throw him on TV? That's fucking retarded.
You know what? At least they're going to shave him.
That's true. They did shave him.
Apparently,
and for that, you can be thankful.
Apparently, he's been shaved for a while in Japan, so maybe they have a strict no hair policy. I don't know. Let's get
maybe
back.
Maybe he shaved just so he doesn't get nicked by wellness. You can't take a hair sample. Sorry.
Back to Monday Night Raw, since we spent way too long on that. Because that was 30 seconds on Raw. Anyway, moving back, The Miz came out to the promo, referenced King Kong Bundy, Main Event WrestleMania 2, and then working match with Hillbilly Jim and the Little People WrestleMania 3. And he said that was the biggest drop-off in WrestleMania history until now, he added, because, you know, he doesn't have a match. He wants to be on Team Laurinaitis. He wants to be at WrestleMania. And he told John Laurinaitis to, you know, watch so closely, and then out came Sheamus.
That's why you don't do open challenges. Sheamus always answers open challenges. Like every time.
Yeah,
he has nothing better to do.
Well, it's not like they had him do anything with Daniel Bryan.
I mean, really, like I mentioned last time on WTR, it's like, they're dropping the ball with this match.
Mm-hmm.
They're dropping the ball with a couple matches. It's like they didn't have Randy Orton and Kane do anything. They didn't have Bryan and Sheamus do anything.
I guess they're saving it for SmackDown.
They had Randy Orton point out that a year ago he wrestled Kane in a match. So clearly this is plotline development.
This is called Instafeud. You shook hands, Kane doesn't like it. Boom!
Actually, you know what? To be completely honest with you, when you consider some of the things that he was saying when he left, I seriously wonder if that is not what they planned, because the last match he wrestled before he was quote unquote injured was he was lamenting him becoming more human. I'm feeling more human. And so I seriously think there's a chance that may have been what they intended.
I don't know if it's what they intended. It might have just been somebody in the writing team was all like, wait a minute, we have to go back and figure out what to do. Somebody get the videotape, talk to WB Films, and WB Films came out and said, oh, here's this tiny loose thread that you can sew together.
Continuity, wait, what? Do you want us to have continuity in our storylines?
That's right, they have to go back to the video archives. Somebody turn on WB On Demand, find out what happened.
Before it gets shut off.
But as Brian mentioned, we did see Randy Orton stand in the Mean Gene Okerlund old setup.
Which I liked. I liked that a lot.
And Mean Gene was trending.
Yeah, apparently Mean Gene was trending on Twitter.
Which has to be said for Josh Matthews. He shows up on TV and he still can't get any cred.
Well, he's no better than Todd Grisham. I'm sorry, he's just not.
I don't mind Matthews. I think Matthews is a better play-by-play guy than a lot of the guys they have. He's certainly better than Cole.
I will tell you this, Matthews and Road Dogg together on,
Are you serious?
Oh crap.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yes. Are gold.
Yes, they are.
They are absolute gold. They need to put them on commentary. That would be good. But the mixture of Matthews, Booker T, and Cole just doesn't work. I'm sorry, no.
Cole doesn't work with anything, dude. They had him on, despite the fact that he's on Raw and SmackDown for a while, they had him on NXT too, and he was ruining that. So
yeah,
Jesus, give the kids a break.
I think that's less Josh Matthews than it is Michael Cole, because he talks over everyone. Matthews has nothing to say. A three-person team, A, is stupid. The three-person team has never worked. But B, he gets talked over by Booker T and by Michael Cole, just like you guys get talked over by me. So, it just doesn't work.
Well, the thing is like, I thought the whole reason they put Cole on SmackDown was to either have Todd Grisham or Josh Matthews bring them up to speed, and then I thought they were going to pull Cole off. Because the way I heard it was that Vince wasn't happy with, I guess, Grisham, who was calling at the time, the way he was calling the show, so they brought Cole over from Raw to call the show, because Vince wasn't happy.
And then Vince got a boner for Michael Cole and just left him on the show.
And it's like, you've got so many other guys that can do commentary and do it well. It's like Matt Stryker, for God's sake, somebody go get Matt Stryker and put him back on commentary. He's good at it. William Regal, he's good at it.
Oh, no, no, no. We can't have Matt Stryker on. We have to have Cole on there because Matt Stryker has to do NXT. I think we switch those two. Seriously, let's get Stryker back on TV, and hell, we'll pull Cole off SmackDown and Raw and put him on NXT. I could deal with that.
I would rather have somebody who is deaf and blind and dumb calling the action than Michael Cole. I'd rather have a Helen Keller on commentary.
Well, the thing about Cole is, it's like, if you want to push your social agenda, or if you want to push the social agenda, fine. Push a social agenda that pertains to the match. Don't be talking about something completely random that has nothing to do with the match. Like, you know, what flowers he planted in his garden when Daniel Bryan and Sheamus are wrestling. You know, it's just, he doesn't talk, it doesn't connect.
No.
And it's irritating. It's like, dude, if you want to do social commentary, then get you a show on the network and put it on at midnight when none of us are going to have to see it, and do your social commentary.
Or bring back Tuesday Night Titans and have him host that.
I mean, it's just... Yeah, it's just... I'm sorry. No. No. Get rid of Michael Cole, please.
And the thing was, Michael Cole was getting better, and then they turned him heel, and he regressed so badly once they turned him heel that you just bash your head on random flat substances whenever you hear his voice chime in with one of his so-and-so's trending on Twitter. My trousers are trending on Twitter.
Yeah, when they had him
care, Cole.
Yeah, it's like when you had him doing the anonymous GM shit, it's like, God, go away. And I get that was the point. But still, it's like, I don't need him shoved down my throat. I mean, Michael Cole is the whole reason I watch wrestling on mute. I cannot stand to hear him that much that I watch Raw and SmackDown and any other show on mute.
Yeah, I mean, I get that he's supposed to be a heel, and I understand that the point of a heel is to not like them, but when the heel is taking away from the quality of the show, we have a problem. And I'm one of those that I tune out, I talk to Lindsay, I do whatever. I don't sit back and listen to Cole. It's just, it's, I just can't do it. It's taking away from what I want to be watching.
I think the idea was to get him on there to be a Bobby Heenan type voice.
Fail.
But it isn't working because Heenan knew A, how to scale it back, and B, Heenan would, when he got put in his place, he would definitely scale it back. He would actually become defensive. Cole never becomes defensive. Cole always shouts over whoever is confronting him. And that's stupid.
They seriously need to stop, and I don't know who was doing this, but just because people like us are hot on Bobby Heenan does not mean that they need to go around trying to make everyone like Bobby Heenan. I agree with you, they're doing it with Cole, and if you can believe it, they're doing it with Vicky.
I'm okay with Vicky, like, though.
Vicky is never going to be Bobby Heenan. Never.
Right, but at least with Vicky, she does it a little bit better than Cole. She can at least act the part a little bit better. I mean, granted, I didn't like Vicky any better when they were shoving her down our throats. It's like they get too much of a good, they get a good thing and they get something that's hot and they're like, oh, people want to see this or people can't stand this. And then they just, it's like nonstop in your face until you're sick of it.
But she's also a heel that's on TV for maybe 5 minutes a week. Cole right. is on 4 hours of television a week.
Yeah, but think back to 08 and 09. Vicky was the GM of SmackDown, and she was on the show the majority of the show. She was a part of the major storylines on that show, and they were just shoving her down your throat.
Yeah, and that was when she was annoying.
Well, she's still annoying.
But she's annoying in such a small scale that she has come into her character. Like, you dislike her for the right reasons now. You dislike her because she's annoying, and then she's gone within 5 minutes, so it's perfectly okay. And she gets the people she's with over. Jack Swagger would be nothing if it weren't for Vicky Guerrero right now. Not that Swagger's like huge right now anyway, but Swagger probably wouldn't even be on TV if it weren't for Vicky Guerrero. Dolph Ziggler wouldn't be nearly as over as he is if it weren't for Vicky Guerrero. Guerrero just happened to get stuck into a role that she couldn't fill. She could not fill that GM role because she's not that great of an actress. She's great at coming out and going, excuse me! But then after that, it's over with her. Have her get in a shoving match with Oksana, and then you're done. That's it. Like, you don't need her more than that.
She can't cut a promo. I'm sorry, she can't cut a promo. Yeah. Oh, Jackie, you're right. You can't see his hair through the wig.
Here's where I'm coming from on this. First of all, I don't want anyone to think that I don't support Vicky Guerrero. Vicky Guerrero and I live in the same town. She's the hometown girl. I love her to death. And I appreciate the fact that she's getting managers out there because I feel like managers are a huge aspect of what the WWE is missing right now. But my thing is with Vicky is that, and I agree that Cole was worse than her as well. I will give you that point 100%. But what I don't understand is with Vicky specifically, why is it that at least if this one manager is working, why do they keep putting her on TV more and putting more people with her instead of, oh my God, let's bring in another one. Maybe it'll work. Bring in another one.
Because I think they got really lucky with Vicky. I mean, honestly, it's just that they got lucky with her, and she worked. I really believe in my heart of hearts they don't have anyone else to bring in that can manage because, let's be realistic, at least from what I've seen on the indie scenes, there are no managers anymore. Nobody really trains to be a manager. Everybody trains to be a wrestler.
Scott Barry is very offended right now.
Well, you know what? The last time that I saw Scott Barry manage was years ago. If he's still managing now, good for him. Great for him. He's the one exception. Other than that, I have not seen that many managers.
There aren't a lot of there are managers on the independent scene, but the thing is that you don't see them in the major promotions, and except for Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has a new renewed push in managers. But I think WWE's point of view is they did get lucky with Vicky. They had really no intention of Vicky getting as over as she did. And they've had guys that have managed before and they just don't work. You have guys like the guy that came out with Great Khali and the guy that came out with Del Rio. And they worked as managers, but they didn't work nearly as well as the classic managers, and they didn't accentuate the character, save for Rodriguez with Alberto, any more than any other character would if they put it with it. So they just don't see the point outside of Vicky and going out there and trying to grab stuff.
But that's what gets me crazy, is you just mentioned Ricardo. Ricardo, I would argue, his time in the Rumble was some of the best time that we had all year. Now, granted, yeah, he was wrestling, but we know him not necessarily as Del Rio's manager. We know him as his ring announcer, but we know him as what generally we would call his manager. And he's over as a manager, and they pulled him off TV. Now, I understand he'll be back when Alberto's off, so it's not like they dropped him or anything, but it's just like, so we know that the manager got over with Del Rio. We know that the manager is over with Vicky Guerrero, and it seems like every time it happens, it's just like, oh no, that's not a good example that manager, and I'm not talking about you guys, I'm talking about WWE. Oh no, that shouldn't be counted as a good example of why managers would work because we got lucky with Vicky. Or, oh no, that's not an example of why managers would work because he's not really a manager, he's a ring announcer. I'm like, whatever. He's out there, he's causing trouble, he's doing what he needs to do, and it's funny. And I'm so sad for that. It's almost like there's very little thought outside of the box anymore.
I would say Ricardo's right up there with Heenan and the characterizations and the mannerisms, and like the fact that he gets sent out basically like to be Alberto's sacrificial lamb on a regular basis made him like this incredibly sympathetic character, but at the same time incredibly humorous, and you wanted to see him get his ass kicked. You felt sorry for him, but at the same time you're like, oh, poor guy, now beat him.
You will more likely see Ricardo Rodriguez freaking out in a weasel suit in the middle of the ring before you will Vicky. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Can I chime in now?
Well, you're the producer. Go right ahead, darling.
I'm not just the producer. I'm actually the host of this program.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
My name's actually in the introduction. Anyway, as I was trying to figure out why the phone number's not working tonight, pissing me off. Stupid Skype. Anyway, as you guys were mentioning, Vicky Guerrero, she accompanied Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger to the ring when they took on Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. Typical tag team match.
And Dolph Ziggler and Swagger are part of the Team Johnny. Is really what came out of that match.
All I can say is the best part of that match was when Vicky and Oksana went at it.
Oh yeah, that was great.
That's the best part of that match right there, and that's all I can say.
That was the match of the night, by the way. That was the best match according to my rundown of the night. Like, there was no match that ran longer or was better than that match, and I still only clocked that at 2 stars. So that should show you how wrestling unheavy this show was.
I forget where Oksana was from, but she'll learn real quick. You don't ever pick a fight with a Mexican woman. I tell you, she's got 5 cousins, sisters, whatever behind her that will whoop your ass. Believe me.
And not just that, but how many men does it take to pull them apart? There was 5 of them there.
Well, Kofi was kind of under the impression to let them go.
That was my thing. Let them go.
Let them go. This is the most interesting thing we've had so far. Let him go.
Dolph and Swagger win. We saw as they talked about the shoving match after the match. Then we get footage of Triple H tombstoning Dolph Ziggler at Madison Square Garden and taunting The Undertaker.
And I love how Michael Cole sold that as if like it had never happened before. Like, look, that was The Undertaker's move. It happened last fucking year, dude.
Right in front of you.
In the match that you're pimping.
All I can say is, Triple H, if you do not have a manly tongue like The Undertaker, don't do the tongue move.
No, his tongue does not wrap around his head like Taker's tongue does.
Moving on to the final segment of the show. Out came the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. You know, talking about he's going to be the man calling it. Can he call it down the middle? Can Shawn Michaels call it out down the middle? Then, gong.
Then Undertaker's bong hit. And the concession stands were closed, so Undertaker better have some nachos under that hood.
Was it me or was he wearing blush?
He was wearing blush. That was not you.
I just looked up and I was watching it on the feed, and even on the feed, as crappy as it is, I was like, he's wearing blush!
No, he
what
is
crap is he wearing blush?
She put blush on him.
He does not need to have a peaches and cream complexion, for the love of God. He's supposed to be dead.
So apparently you can't put you
thou shalt not put makeup on the Undertaker.
You can put on her boy. Oh, well, that's not true. The Undertaker's been wearing makeup for years, dude.
I know, but that
there's a difference between eyeliner and blush.
If I can if I can noticeably tell that he is wearing makeup, that's a fail. I'm sorry.
He's been with the eyeliner for a while now, though, where it like is getting thick enough where he's gonna start looking like a raccoon soon. Like, it just gets more and more pronounced every time he steps into the ring. You're like, oh my God, have someone else do it for you. If you're
well, he doesn't
that old.
Well, just to give you girl makeup tips, he doesn't do it right, because you're supposed to put it right on your lash line, and he puts it, like, above his, like, way above, on the actual eyelid. So he's not doing it right.
You're doing
for God's sakes, get your wife to put your eyeliner on for you. That, or you have professional makeup people there, they can do it.
At least this time they went to the aerial shot when Undertaker was climbing to the ring, so you didn't see him crawling up the stairs.
That scares me.
Because he crawled up the stairs again. Like, if you were watching close enough, I have a big enough TV with HD. If you're watching close enough, he crawled up the stairs again this week.
Well, I think it's more he can't see the stairs.
Is he turning into, like, the big, thick glass guy as he gets older? Like, he's just like, I can't actually see you. Just, like, if I swing towards you and hit you in the face, I'm really sorry.
No, I think it's more he's got that hood cinched down so over his face he can't see. So he's got to, you know, feel it out. Because they're trying to hide the fact that he's bald.
This week the hood wasn't that low. This was the hood actually was.
When he was talking to Triple H and Shawn, like, his nose was almost, like, pointed at the ceiling. He was, I agree with Lindsay. I think he was looking over that hood.
Because it comes down, if you look at him head on, it comes down, it's like the hat. It comes down over his eyes. So it's like, how the hell do you see in that thing? I mean, I know, I'm sure it's like autopilot. He walks out, he walks down the ramp, he gets to the ring, and then from once he gets to the stairs, that's where the problem begins, because he's like, he's got to climb the stairs and then get in the ring, and then from there he's fine.
I still think that it's partially the hood, but I think it's also partially his knees are shot, and like he has to crawl up the ring. Like, he has to put his hand down for support to get his feet up above there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, we know his knees are shot.
Yeah.
We know that. That's a fact. Now, how much work he had done on them, we don't know. Although, I think he had hip and shoulder this time, didn't he?
Yeah, it was hip and shoulder.
Because I think I remember them saying that the last time he went and got his knee looked at and worked on, the doctors were like, dude...
Yeah, I think they just scoped the knee this time, but they did shoulder surgery.
So, anyway, we go. Shawn Michaels before the Undertaker, you know, they said, end of the hour is code for the end of the streak. Takers, you know, basically came out, and, you know, so before you and your buddy started making plans, out came Triple H, and then Triple H comes out and says, as much as Shawn wants to be about Shawn's ego, it's not about him. It's about Undertaker and Triple H and how they were destined to fight off, as they're both legendary in Hell in a Cell.
Which they should not ever mention again how many times they've run Hell in a Cell, because that just really made me go, holy shit, man. Have there really been that many grudge matches?
Well, it's more like... You know, that you sit there and you're like, you know, there have only been 24 Hell in the Cells. Dude, that's a lot of Hell in the Cells. I'm sorry. You know, if you said there's only been 10, okay, yeah, I could buy that. That's a little bit more impressive. But the, you know, 24
since 1996.
Since 1996, that's a pretty high number.
Especially considering the fact there's only been 25 Royal Rumbles.
And yeah. when you also consider that it really loses its edge, it loses its appeal when it's a pay-per-view.
And then on top of it, Triple H mentions the fact that, like, him and The Undertaker have been in 19 of 24.
And the best part is, the man who won the first one is just standing right there smirking away.
Yeah.
The two innovators of the match are standing there.
And then you have Shawn going, smirking, I won the first
one.
Yeah,
and Shawn actually won, and he's not saying anything. It's like, what the fuck?
That confused me. I wasn't sure why Shawn was even there besides the shared, like, him smirking at Triple H at the end.
Oh my god, that was amazing.
Especially since, like, every time Triple H looked at him, he would get all super serious, and then Triple H would look away, and he'd start smirking again.
I know.
You're like, oh, what a douchebag.
Shawn's standing there going, oh, you just got owned.
Brian, this is a message from Tim Stein. Type quieter or stop adjusting your microphone. It's making a lot
of
noise.
I'm not typing anything. I'm not touching the keyboard.
Well, whatever your microphone's doing, it's adjusting.
Ah, okay.
Making a lot of noise. Tim is, like, complaining. He's hearing chopping noises. Okay, Tim, we got your sound edit now for you.
I think it was Taka Michinoku. He was choppy choppy.
Anyway, and Tim face palms. the whole world is going to see an end of the era, Triple H said when they meet face to face. And then, you know, take your ass, are you ready? Put your mind, your body, your soul, your career, your wife, your kids, your dog Spot, his dog Spot, even your life on the line. Are you willing to put it all on the line? If it means giving you the end that you so richly deserve, then I am, said Triple H. And I will. As that ended, Taker smirks, starts to walk away. You have Triple H and Shawn Michaels standing together. Turns around, goes right into Triple H's face and says, you remember when I said Shawn is better than you?
He is.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And Shawn's face just lit up like a Christmas tree, and I have not laughed that hard at Shawn Michaels in years.
Shawn totally sold that. Just totally did it.
Yeah.
And it actually added that extra wrinkle again, that, like, will Shawn screw Triple H or will he screw Undertaker? Now that Undertaker has said, you're better than Triple H, is that enough to feed Shawn's ego to make him be like, sorry, Trips, he was nice to me.
Well, actually, I think I'm kind of taking it as more of Taker trying to kind of cause trouble. He wants there to be some animosity between Shawn Michaels and Triple H, so he's stirring the pot, as it were.
Absolutely, it's mind games. It's seeing if he can get Shawn to toe his line instead of Tripp's line.
I also appreciate that since we've been talking about which version of quote-unquote The Undertaker are we going to get at WrestleMania, he's not using caskets, he's not using lightning, he's not using all that kind of stuff. He's using mental head games.
The master of manipulation, the master of mind games.
Yes.
You learn from the best.
And all I can say is John Laurinaitis doing the trombone, because that's where I am in Raw at this point, was a complete utter fail. That and David Otunga, you need to lay off the baby oil. Only Randy Orton is allowed to be that slick.
Or the master of style.
Or the master of style, yes.
So that's how Monday Night Raw ended. And you could just, when you know, Taker walks away, you hear Taker's music play, and you just see Shawn Michaels smirking away. It's like, it's so awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
That added just the right amount to that match. It was just the perfect little, it's like, you know, they didn't have to yell about it. It had just the right amount of heat on it, and it's just a perfect FU.
Yep, basically.
it's like, okay, all right, everybody in the back, that's how you do this. Just saying.
Take notes.
And this really was a Raw where it was great at the start, it was great at the end, and everything in between just kind of said, eh.
Well, here's the matches we're going to push. We're going to push Jericho Punk. We're going to push Taker Triple H. It's their turn this week. Rock Cena got it all last week, so they got a little blurb. They didn't, and then the rest of it was like, ah, fuck it. You know, we'll just do everything else for all the other matches. And that's
fuck
pretty
it, we'll
much what they did.
Well, yeah. they had some interesting ways of doing it. Like they pushed the show Cody Rhodes match by involving Kane. Did not involve him at all in the promotion of his actual match for WrestleMania.
Right. But like, everything that happened tonight, everyone who was on the show has a part in WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Finally, they were getting in line with that. They were finally getting to that point where every storyline was coming together. And even the stupid shit, like the Maria Eve Torres garbage, had a point.
Can I make a comment on that, because I finally saw the footage?
Yes, please.
Beth, what the hell were you wearing? I'm sorry, I have a really hard time with this Beth Phoenix in cocktail dresses thing. I get it's the whole quote-unquote pin-up strong thing that she's still trying to do, but it's just, I'm sorry, I cannot take you as a badass or seriously in a cocktail dress.
Also,
a cheap, trashy cocktail dress on top of it.
And is it just me, or did that entire segment feel like the Lex Luger on board the Intrepid segment, where you suddenly see Beth and Eve walking onto the set, and you're just, what's she gonna do, body slam her?
That whole thing is stupid. It's fucking stupid. There's no way to
like that walking down the street.
There's no way to make that look good. There's no way to make that look good. This is the piss break match.
As it is. I don't really get the point in using Maria Menounos or whatever the fuck her name is, just because of the fact that who cares? Are you really going to draw new viewers from somebody's going to be watching Extra? They're going to be like, oh, now I have to order WrestleMania because the host from Extra. Not even the host, the co-hostess, who just shows up at red carpet shit, is going to end up being on WrestleMania. Now I have to order it. That's not going to sell shit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I guess I get the whole celebrity thing, but I honestly do not think that this whole thing with her will sell one pay-per-view.
No, it's a waste of money. It's an absolute waste of money. There is no reason to pay her to come out there at WrestleMania and wrestle.
Maybe her parents are going to buy the pay-per-view, so was it that worth it to bury the whole Divas division for one pay-per-view buy?
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to waste the money on a celebrity, you had a perfect setup with Shaq's show. You really did. Why not spend the money on Shaq, bring him in, because more people will pay to see him than they will Maria Menounos. I'm sorry, I get she's on Dancing with the Stars this season, but Dancing with the Stars starts next week.
Started
WrestleMania
tonight.
Is the week after that.
It started tonight.
Oh, it started tonight? Okay, fine. It starts tonight. 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. Honestly, if the audience was a wrestling viewing audience, Jericho would have done a hell of a lot better than what he did.
Just saying.
Also, not just that, but also, do you really think they're going to mention on Dancing with the Stars that, Maria, who is going to be wrestling at WrestleMania... They're not going to mention shit about that.
That's the thing, and that's kind of like I went off on the rack last week. If you look at Maria Menounos, she is tiny, and she is skinny as a rail. I mean, seriously, she is almost unsightly skinny. When you look at her, you can't suppress your disbelief that much to think there's any way she could legitimately get a win over Beth Phoenix. You know... You're being the really good stories are the ones that you forget are stories. I mean, look at all the shit that's going around. Not only on the internet, even on this network, where people are questioning whether there is really any heat between John Cena and The Rock. those are the storylines that people care about. And it's believable that one could pin the other. There is no question in anyone's mind who would win a fight between Maria Menounos and Beth Phoenix. You know you're being sold a bullshit story. And I mean, it could be just me because I don't like it, but I don't buy it for 1 minute. It's not even worth my time to even try to suspend my disbelief for that.
No. And she's already beaten Beth once, so it's not like you are selling something brand new. And they've shown on TV that she's beaten Beth once. You know what the ending of that match is going to be. You don't bring in a celebrity and have her job. it never happens. You'd be better off spending the money on Chris Brown and having him call with Jericho just for Jericho to get under, like, Punk's skin just that little bit more.
And see, that's the other thing. We were discussing this. I went off on a rant on the rack, and Rock mentioned that he thought that Beth was going to pin Maria and get the upper hand on her. I don't necessarily believe that, just because I have a feeling that this match is going to be more about Eve and Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Rock,
question. That's what they're going for after this pay-per-view.
You know what's going to be about Eve and Kelly, but I still think Beth Phoenix gets the final pin.
Which kind of makes me wonder, I mean, because I'm kind of just like up in the air, and I'm just sitting here wondering if the whole thing is going to be real about pushing the quote-unquote real feud here, which is Eve and Kelly. Kelly, I don't even get the point of having Maria Menounos on the show. Seriously, nobody gives a fuck about her.
Celebrity pop. It's WrestleMania. They have to have celebrities. That's what it's known for. And since apparently they couldn't get any good celebrities this year, they got Maria Menounos.
And that's my question, is does that make WWE look good if the only person they could get was Maria Menounos? I mean, as much as I hate Snooki, she legitimately has a cult following through her TV show. No matter what my opinion is of her, she's a celebrity.
They got Flo Rida.
Who?
Yeah, and they got that rapper, whatever his name is. I don't know, I don't listen to rap, but it's like... what's worse, to not have any celebrities and just focus on pushing your own talent, or getting some skinny ass little pixie off of who's the co-host of a television, you know, tabloid that no one gives a shit about?
Well, here's the thing. It's, again, it is WrestleMania. That is what it's known for. That's what they push. They don't necessarily push the quote unquote wrestling storylines, because WrestleMania is where all the storylines end. And they move on from there. WrestleMania is the finale.
Oh, you know that's bullshit, Lindsay. You know that's bullshit, Lindsay.
I know, but I have to say it. And if you look at it realistically, they're bringing The Rock in. They're having The Rock wrestle. That's kind of a two birds with one stone, where they get their celebrity pop, they get their wrestler pop. You know, and Maria Menounos is kind of sort of that secondary celebrity of, oh yeah, look, we got her too, but we've got Dwayne Johnson over here. Ooh, look at him. Isn't he shiny? So, you know, I think that's what it is. Is it's like they got The Rock. That's what they want. And they just brought her in just for shits and grins.
We're missing
they brought
the
her
big
in
thing.
For TNA, despite the fact that she's so damn skinny. She doesn't have either.
We're missing the big thing. Tori Wilson and Alex Rodriguez are going to be at WrestleMania.
There you go.
Tori Wilson and Alex Rodriguez. Come on now.
Could they have not convinced her to go out there?
No.
Tori Wilson. I mean, I'm not talking about wrestle. I'm talking about just go out there.
Why couldn't they have brought Trish back?
Just saying. Me too.
I mean, at least Trish Stratus and Kelly Kelly versus Beth Phoenix and Eve. Yeah, okay, I could actually buy that.
Especially since Trish has said that she wants to come back. If she comes back and does one more match, she wants it to be with Beth.
Well, see, and I think that's one of the things that has been most upsetting to me about this whole situation, is Trish, a legitimate kick-ass wrestler, has said she's wanted to come back and feud with Beth. Before we knew what really happened with Karma, we thought there'd be a chance she'd be wrestling Beth at WrestleMania. Medusa has been talking about coming back and wrestling Beth for her WWE women's belt that she has. There have been so many awesome matches.
All right, Jackie, I want to cut you off a second. Huh? Your internet was starting to, like, crap out. I was like, you were talking like a robot.
Oh, sorry. Am I better now?
Not really, not at the moment. That's why I was, like, trying to cut you off so we don't hear a robot for the next 2 minutes. Sorry.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Again, they all want to face Beth, and they all want to have wrestling matches. And we all know the WWE, at least where the women are concerned, doesn't want that. They don't want wrestling matches. If they did, they would have actual women wrestlers, for the majority part, in the Divas division working.
And not just that, but also they haven't had a really good women's match at WrestleMania since Trish Mickey. I think they've gotten away from women's matches mattering anything more than 3-minute piss break match. But the thing is, it's a 3-minute piss break match, and it's people that they can sell on a consistent basis to media. So they're not going to get rid of it. It gives the fans something to do instead of sitting on their hands waiting for the next match. And, like, it lets them go get concessions, which in WWE's mind is incredibly important. You need those guys out, those guys and girls out there that are going to give the fans an opportunity to go buy shit. And I don't think there should be integral storylines, and I don't think you should be spending $100,000 on a celebrity that nobody knows about to bring her in for a wrestling match. But at the same time, I understand the purpose of a women's match. Just do Kelly Kelly and Alicia Fox against Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres, and just make sure Alicia Fox never tags in, and I'm fine.
Yeah, well, she's going to be too busy picking out her outfit, so I think we're good there.
She will be still picking out her outfit.
All right. Kane Kittens, you have Lindsay's attention. What do you need?
I'm not in the chat tonight. What's up?
Yeah, Lindsay, may I have your attention, please? So come on.
Yes, you have my attention.
You're slowing us down.
Type faster.
Come on now. Come on. We're waiting. We're waiting for you, chat room.
Jeopardy music.
Edward Nordberg here.
Just because she asked, we'll have some Jeopardy music. That's the wrong Jeopardy music. That's the theme of Jeopardy. Let's go to the right Jeopardy music. This one.
That works too.
But then it says, this is Jeopardy.
When?
So there's your other music. Come on, Kane. Kane, let's go. And he's saying nothing.
I bet you the chat died on her.
Actually, I think
it's a him. It's a guy.
Someone made Alan.
He yelled at us on Sunday night.
It's a him. Alan made the mistake calling it a she. It's a he. Kane Kittens is a he.
I'm sorry, Kane Kittens.
Although I will say on a side note, AJ looked very cute tonight.
AJ looked incredibly cute tonight.
Since I'm at that point in the show.
She always looks cute. Can you believe she's 25?
Oh, man. I'm telling you. There's a part of me that is, I just want to switch places with Daniel Bryan. I wish I'd gotten in the wrestling industry when he did.
All he was doing,
because we would have gotten in at the same time.
Oh, you fail, King Kittens. He was just doing the GM voice. Boo.
Boo Earns, dude. Boo Earns. Fail. No spankings for you.
Anyway, I think we covered Raw.
I think we betted Raw well.
Okay, Brian, plug something before you go.
Check out the Raw Rundown that is coming up later tonight. WildTalkRadio.com. Also, check out all of my assorted other columns that will be posting sometime in the future. And also check us out on Wednesday, because I'm sure I'll be on Wednesday again, because God knows they don't have anyone else.
Which means I'll probably be on as well.
So this is where we say goodbye to Brian. Say goodbye, Brian.
Goodbye, Brian.
Goodbye, guys. Have a good
night.
Bye.
You too.
Have fun with Kane.
We'll try.
That was Brian. You can check out stuff. This Means Raw on the website, coming up in a couple of hours. Here on the website.
We go on to the next segment, do I still sound like a robot?
No. What other segment do we have? We're done.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to talk to Jersey Girl.
The phone's not working. I don't know why the phone's not working tonight. I've called it about 20 times and nothing's getting through. It's going right to voicemail.
It would figure when she was there, the fucking phone doesn't work.
Phone's not working tonight. I can't help
it. Curse you, phone. Curse you to hell.
I know. I've called it about 20 times on the phone. It's like, why isn't the phone working?
Let me see if I can call it.
It's going to go right to voicemail. I'm going to call it again, too. We're going to call it live right on the air. Here we go. Redial. ring. Ring-a-dingy. So there you go. It goes right to voicemail. Fucking voicemail. There you go. So we fail with the phones. I don't know why they're not working. I'm blaming Skype. It's one of those days.
Stupid Skype. It's all its fault.
It's all its fault. You know, can't do anything about it. But on that note, we're going to wrap up, and I'll let you two plug before I say what we're doing the rest of the week.
Lindsay, go ahead.
Oh, well, you can follow me on Twitter, at Linz Ward, LinsWard, and you can follow The Rack, which is live at 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on Thursday. It's at WTR_Rack. Go, Jackie.
I am on Twitter at Jackie Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. Don't forget to check out our past episodes of Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, found exclusively at thehistoryofww.com. I will be recording another one soon with fellow Wild Talk Radio Network host Alan Wojcik for WrestleMania.
Speaking of Alan Wojcik, he will be live tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern with the one, the only, the head booker of Evolve and Dragon Gate USA, Gabe Sapolsky. We also have Matt Hardy's opponent at Northeast Wrestling. I think that's what it is. I should have looked this up. I was doing this plug last night. I didn't even look it up. But Matt Taven is on the program tomorrow night. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and the Cheapwood paneling. Thursday night, they said it. It's the Rack. We've got four play questions. Tweet me at Wild Talk Radio. If not, I'm going to turn it to Omega and they're going to be screwed.
You're going to turn to Omega? Lizzie's going to be screwed? What?
I said you both will be
screwed. Oh, Omega won't. Oh, he screws me anyway.
Back dictation again?
Yes, I had to take extra last night because of my comments, but it was worth it. So I have no fear. Ask your questions, Omega.
This Saturday night, midnight on the dot-ish, probably 12:05. There you go. We're starting at 12:05. You heard it here first. The pipe bomb gets fucking dropped by me. Because this is your home of wrestling radio.
Nice little shot there. And you don't want to miss this, y'all. You want to hear this. Trust me.
I'm going off on a moron.
I'm sorry.
Hi, moron. I like you that you're following my other Twitter. Jackass. I'm going to have way too much fun with that. Anyway, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein and Omega and the rest of the crew as they talk the week in pro wrestling. And then we'll be back next Monday night live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern to recap the final Raw before WrestleMania. Go ahead.
Hi, Mace.
Hi, Mace.
Hi, Mace. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, or facebook.com/wildtalkradio.network. And Tim asked, did she just say, oh, he screwed me anyway?
Yes, I did.
Happy, Tim?
Yeah, before he did, he asked her, are you interested?
For Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward. I'm Sorokin. We've got 10 seconds before this song ends. I'm Sorokin. We'll see you next Monday live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
I'm so fired.
WildTalkRadio.com.